Your music sucks, but we love it and we want you to keep making it. Our opinions and thoughts towards bands and artists are just those, opinions. We mean no disrespect to the artists or the impact they've made and continue to make on the musical landscape.
Hello, it's me, Jerry Seinfeld, and welcome to our podcast. That was my extremely bad Jerry Seinfeld.
Same difference.
Yeah, I mean, it could work either way. Yeah. But anyway, welcome to the last podcast of the year, 2017. We're closing it down. This probably won't be released until at least tomorrow, maybe tonight, if I am not too inebriated to put it online. Mm. So we are recording this. Jason and I are drinking $5 Blanc de Blanc champagne from Trader Joe's. Shout out to Trader Joe's. Also, we are bringing we're having a party, and we decided to podcast during the party because we're recluses. Mm. We're going to bring in people from this party and have them tell them their favorite albums of the year and their least favorite albums, possibly, or whatever they hated the most about the musical landscape. So Jason and I are going to ramble off our favorite albums of the year and tell you why we like them and why you should listen to them, because if you haven't heard these, you're bad people. I'm just kidding. And then we're going to pull in you'll hear some random noise probably because there's music playing, and we'll just be like, all right, Levi, you're up, whatever, pulling people in, random dudes. So Jason, what was your favorite album of the year?
Hi, my name's Jason. My favorite albums of the
year. Don't talk in that voice. Hi.
My favorite albums.
Just do your first one.
My favorite album, first one, without even a thought of my mind or anyone else's mind, if I took someone else, had experimental surgery, took some of their mind, put it in my mind, and then their mind slowly took over my mind.
But Jason, where is your mind?
Oh, it's a musical reference. yes. My favorite album of the year is by Diet Sig. The band is Diet Sig. The album is Swear I'm Good at This. The band consists of Alex Luciano, I don't know. Weird Al Yankovic. We need you on the podcast.
So you could pronounce the Yiddish names and the
yes, and I think I just called her a he. So if we could just
Diet Sig is definitely both women.
Stop fucking up.
Oh no, it's actually one man and a woman.
Yeah, so we're both idiots and we both fucked it up already.
To be fair, I've only heard like two Diet Sig songs. Yes. And I was not super turned on to them. So I need to listen to... I can't remember who posted the first one.
Probably me.
No, it wasn't you. No. Somebody put something on Facebook and was like, check out this song. And it wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember who did that. But shame on you. But
yes, the band is of Alex Luciano. And on guitar and vocals is Noah... Or she's on guitar and vocals. And on drums is Noah Bowman. They're just a two-piece. They're great... really stripped down, rock your fucking ass off, feel like a kid again, feel like you're fucking young again, and
so it's the White Stripes.
Just blast it. It's the
White Stripes of 2017.
2016. So yeah, it's kind of a new White Stripes.
Okay.
Yeah. Soundtrack or highlights from that album include 16. Barf Day is probably my favorite song ever from Diet Sig.
What's Barf Day about?
Barf Day is about a birthday.
That's clever.
Just explaining her birthday. And every song really, you feel the realness to it.
Okay.
You know, they write their own songs. It's real. It's
they write their own songs.
Simple.
It's really a shame that that's kind of...
Right?
It's a shame that that's kind of like unique in 2017. I mean, it's really not... Most of the music we talk about on this podcast was written by the musicians that we're talking about. There's a few, like if we're talking about a Beyoncé song that obviously was not written by Beyoncé, maybe part of it was, but that doesn't take away from the fantasticism that is Beyoncé, because she's wonderful. She's wonderful. And I'm not dissing on Beyonce. She, like, even she says she doesn't write her songs. But that's, you're not listening to Beyonce because she wrote her songs. You're listening to Beyonce because she's a bad bitch and that's what you want to listen to. But anyway.
And it even rounds off the last song, Tummy Ache, is a great song. The whole album, there's songs to be found for any kind of mood you're in. High, low, happy, sad. It's one of those albums that spans the emotions and it can just hook you in depending on what you hear with the mood you're in.
Now, would you say their last song is equivalent to a Weezer album member, Ender, as in a good Weezer album, as in Blue Album, Pinkerton, and the White Album?
It is.
Is it up there with just that, it kind of ties the whole album off, tugs at your emotions, and just kind of leaves you wanting more, as in more as in replaying the album.
Oh, do you mean like tying my balls off and getting tugged off and then just wanting more and saying, yes, sir, please, sir.
No, I mean more of you hear Butterfly and you're just like, God, that is so sad, but it's so beautiful and I want more.
Yes, Tummy Ache is exactly in the same idea that it, you know, it is the end of the album, but it makes you just want to start it over again.
Okay, because that's a big thing for me, and I won't discredit Weezer and say they weren't the reason. They were a big part of the reason that album enders are important to me. But honestly, it's the biggest reason album enders are important to me is AC/DC, with the last Bon Scott AC/DC album, Highway to Hell. He ended it with Nightprowler.
Okay.
And he just ends it. It's just this slow, scary, sexual song about a man creeping through an alley. And, like, it's kind of rapey, but in a not creepy way, if I can say that correctly. I mean, it's creepy, but it's in, like, a... He's playing the persona of a bad person.
Mm.
But it's just, it's so dark and just, it, vile is a good word for it. And he just kind of ends it with, he actually ends it with a Robin Williams quote. He says, Nanu Nanu, and is the last.
Nanu Nanu.
Yeah, he says, Nanu Nanu, and that is the last recorded line that Bon Scott ever did. I mean, honestly, American release, there was the Australian release of Jailbreak, which is a fantastic 76 Jailbreak, if you haven't heard it, is incredible EP. It's fucking flawless. But yeah, so that, anyway, let's move on to mine. My first favorite album of the year is Brick Body Kids by Open Mike Eagle.
That are the kids made out of bricks?
Actually, yes, that's kind of what he's claiming in this album.
Okay.
This album is about, so he grew up in South Side of Chicago. So, as Kanye West would describe it, is Chi-Town.
Chi-Town. The C is silent.
Yeah.
The H
is not.
I guess.
But he grew up in Chi-Town. So, pretty much, like, really, like, south end of Chicago.
Like, Shameless.
Pretty much, but...
But Kanye.
But Open Mic.
And Open Mic. It's like Shameless... If Shameless, if Kanye was on Shameless, but he was on Open Mic Night on Shameless.
You're pissing me off, Jason. So, this album is pretty much, there were homes that were built, entire apartment homes that were built, pretty much for lower income class people.
Okay.
And then they were demolished. And this album is about how, even though those homes became a symbol of lower middle class, poor class, and just a symbol of oppression to these kids, that does not give the right of the government and the people to destroy them, because many of the places that Open Mic grew up in were demolished. And I'm a little drunk, so I'm trying to paraphrase as best I can, but he's saying, like, these homes were just destroyed. And they're pretty much just massive apartment buildings. There's a really good AV Club documentary on it. He was saying how they had to put metal fencing in front of the on the whole side of the building where the apartments were on the balconies because people were just killing themselves, just jumping off. So they had to put metal fencing up to prevent that because it was just the living situations there were so bad. But yes, you can, and some look up that documentary because it's fantastic. There's some just really great still pictures of people playing basketball, but there's you see Chicago, the skyline in the background, but then everything around them is just these massive buildings. And people would say, like, you'd walk up the stairwell, there'd be drug deals, there'd be all sorts of stuff. And this album really encapsulates that. It's actually a concept album where it takes just someone growing up in that situation and trying to get out of it, but still being attached to it. And that's kind of what Open Mic is saying, like, you don't have the right to destroy these buildings because a lot of these buildings are being taken down. And it's offensive because, like, people grew up there. That's their homes. And you can't just destroy them because they're no longer profitable. And it's a really great album. It's wonderful. One of my favorite hip-hop albums of the year. Open Mic Eagle is one of the best hip-hop artists, in my opinion. He just is so wonderful.
I can't believe you just told me that's a concept album and you never told me that before. Because I would have listened to it.
I was just handed a nondescript beverage by my friend Morgan, so I'm going to drink this. Jason, what's your second favorite album of the year?
My second favorite album of the year is by Matthias Kohm and Ariel Sharatt, otherwise known as The Burning Hell.
I've never heard of that.
Don't Believe the Hyper Real. I could not believe that they released a new album. They are really stripped down, sardonic, I don't know, anti-folk or something along those lines. They had a really good song called, from their most popular song was probably, it's from the movie with the rabbit people. the actor.
Zootopia, right?
No, not Zootopia. I have a good song. What is the name of that song?
So it's The Burning Hell?
Love is a Hurricane. Or no, It Happens in Florida. Those are lyrics. It Happens in Florida is probably the most popular song. But yeah, The Burning Hell. They came out with a new album this year under their two solo names. Like I said, the Matthias Kohm and Ariel Sharatt. It's really exactly what it's stripped down. It's two people with two guitars, and he has a real sardonic wit, the way he writes music.
Now, define for us the definition of sardonic.
Sardonic is
just because that is a very large word.
Sardonic is witty, but in a way that's I don't want to say offensive. Could be completely wrong here. Yeah, not offensive, but it's witty in a way that's kind of mocking, or no, cynical is the right word.
Sardonic, grimly cynical. Mocking or cynical.
Yeah. Cynical. So he sings song, even the songs where they're joyous, they have upbeat, like, you know, where it's happy. And then he just sings lyrics that are, oh, my music's so good, but I just want to jump off a bridge.
So it's in the vein of, like, Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Yes.
It's very upbeat and happy, but they're talking about killing themselves or pregnant women being decapitated.
And not even to that extent, but in, I would say, more humor inserted in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm going to move on to my second favorite album of the year, Roswell Kid, Precious Art. If you haven't heard Roswell Kid...
Oh, yes.
For the fuck's sake, listen to Roswell Kid. Roswell Kid is a perfect mix of pop punk and Weezer. And many people are saying, oh, Weezer's pop punk. Yeah. So you take Weezer.
What?
You're saying that? I've met a lot of people that say Weezer's pop punk. But so Weezer, take the songwriting of Rivers Cuomo and then add in just solid fucking pop punk. It's so good. All of their songs are super self-deprecating, just like Weezer. A lot of them deal with addiction, and in this case, the lead singer talks about overeating a lot. A lot of his addiction is dealt with food. My favorite song of theirs, it's not on this album, but it's Hummus Vacuum. He's talking about how he just eats his feelings a lot, and he's ashamed of it, and it's just really real and raw. And this album is very real. It's a lot of just allegories for growing up and existing in this current generation. It's really wonderful, and if you haven't heard it, if you like pop punk, if you like Weezer, please check it out. It's just absolutely wonderful. Super solid album. There's a really great song called Wish Man, where when we played it, Jason and I both saw them live. The song, he created it before this album came out, but he put it on there. It's called Wish Man, and he goes,
That riff, though.
The riff is really good, but he says, I asked the Wish Man to make me a dog, and he said, your wish is my command, and then I said, and the whole joke, like, the song is a joke because he starts barking like a dog, but it's really wonderful. And when we saw them live, they played that song about 10 times, and it started off as a joke, because he would go like, all right, we're going to play Wish Man, and everyone was like, woo, I love that song, and then, like, they'd kind of stop and stare at us for a while, and he goes, all right, this is what a new song off our new album, it's called Wish Man, and then, like, they play it again. And they did that like 10 times. So it started, like, the whole concert was great because it started, I've seen them 17 times. Jordan Hudkins, the lead singer, knows me by face and name now. It's kind of wonderful. But, so he saw me, I was in the front row, and he kept saying, like, we're a PG-13 band, we don't say the word fuck. And he kept saying fuck on accident. And I said, I yelled out, one more fuck, and it's a Tarantino movie. And everyone laughed. And I was super happy about it. I'm going to brag about that on podcast. But, yeah, they played Wishman like 10 times. They just kept doing it. It's awesome. They also did, if you like just silly fucking bands, they were touring with Pup for a while, P-U-P.
Yeah.
And, which, Pup's okay. Mm-hmm. But I like Roswell Kid better. But they were touring with Pup. And while they were touring with Pup, the lead singer said they were one of the best bands to tour with. And they would, so every show, they would stop before the last chord of their last song, which is usually my favorite song of theirs, Birthday Sombrero. It's really wonderful. So they stop before the last chord of their last song, and they just hold it out. They just strike a pose and hold it. So towards the end of the tour, they were holding that pose for 3.5 minutes. Not moving, no sound, nothing. Just hand in the air, about to strum that last pose. And they're just standing there. So it starts out where people are like, okay, this is kind of funny. And then people get mad. And then it goes on so long that people think it's funny again. And then they finally hit that last chord. And then they close the show. Thanks, good night. And they walk off. But like, it's just like 3 minutes of silence as they're posing there. Like, it's hysterical. Roswell Kid, fucking genius band. They're going to go places. I give it 2020 and they will be top of the charts. They're huge. Jason, what's your next favorite album?
So my next one was going to be Brock Barrington, but I had to switch it up, and Brock Barrington's going to be last. But the next one is Nether Friends. Austin, Texas's own Nether Friends, who released something, a ridiculously large amount of albums this year. He's stripped down lo-fi hip-hop. He's one of those musicians who gets on stage by himself. He has pedals. He has a whole, you know, guitar, keyboards, harmonica setup. He creates his own loops on stage while he's doing it. And then he proceeds to, you know, rap over them, sing over them. All of his songs are about fuckboys, weed, pizza, and that's about it.
You didn't really need anything else than that. Fuckboy, weeds, and pizza.
And the highlight for a lot of you Rick and Morty fans would be Interdimensional Trap, which he has Blake Rules rapping on it. Blake Rules is more of a strictly hip-hop sort of rapper. Whereas Nether Friends can get, you know, he's more indie, sort of lo-fi-ish. But Blake Rules, I can go, I like him. Interdimensional Trap gets kind of repetitive at points, just in the way the songs are set up. But it's Rick and Morty. If you watch that show, you'll get the call-outs. I do wish Nether Friends himself was more present on that album. And there's, what, like 20-something other albums he released in 2017 that you can listen to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Nether Friends at all.
Right. I'm going to move this along. We got to kind of speed this up because it's getting close to midnight. Got 5 minutes until 2018, baby! The year of Donald Trump!
The year of, as Dan Harmon put it...
The darkest timeline?
Not being an asshole.
Yeah. God, I love Dan Harmon.
We had plenty of that.
In 2017.
Yeah.
Dan Harmon is a good guy. He's a very good man. Anyway. Alright, Kendrick. Kendrick Lamar's album, Damn, that came out this year. Flawless. Just incredible album. He touched on Atlanta Trap and the current state of hip-hop, which is very... I hate to use the word mumble rap. It's not quite mumble rap, this album, but he touches on it a little bit, and he really perfects it. He shows his skill not only as an artist, but as a rapper, and it's wonderful. Humble, which is one of the biggest songs of the year, he just totally does mumble rap / Atlanta Trap, and it's fantastic. He touches on it. He shows that he can improve upon the already established genre, and it's wonderful. The lyrics are fantastic. It touches on fame and his own just misguided and troubled views on money and fame and celebrity. It's really, really a wonderful album. And if you haven't heard it, you're an absolute monster. Just a terrible person.
And everyone hates you.
Absolutely just kidding. You're really wonderful. But please, if you haven't heard Kendrick's Damn, I'm a super hipster. I don't put a lot of super popular albums on my top five favorite albums of the year or whatever. But this is, it is a truly magnificent album. It is truly wonderful. Please check out Damn. It is super good. It doesn't touch Pimp the Butterfly because that is by far his magnum opus, but it is close to usurping that. It is wonderful. Nice. Check out Damn. My fourth favorite album of the year, I have six, will be Slaughter Beach, Dog, Birdie. If you like really sad music, if you like just stripped down acoustic, I'm terribly sad, emo music, so think... who's the big emo acoustic band? Your Hair is Everywhere, This Ruined Puzzle.
Everywhere, Screaming Infidelity.
Yeah, who's that?
Chris.
Further
Seems Forever.
Who's the band, though?
But after Further Seems Forever.
Yeah. Who's the band?
God damn it.
I just looked them up today. God damn it. Who is that band? Brenna!
Dashboard
Confessional. If you like Dashboard Confessional, you will like Slaughter Beach Dog. The lyrics are super honest, super storytelly in a way. One of the songs is about how he learned how to play guitar and everything leading up to that, where his friend just... Something like his dad... His friend's dad made pyramids out of cans of beer bottles. Something, it sounds super innocuous, but when you think about it, it's actually kind of depressing. How everyone's super depressed, but his friend taught him how to play guitar. Really good. There's a lot of relationship stuff. There's one where it's just kind of this bland, like, oh, we're talking to a woman at a bar, and he goes like, Annie, I want you to marry me. It's just really beautiful, really stripped down. It's really funny. There was this band before this. They were kind of going for a emo kind of just darker, heavier kind of sound. And then they released an EP, which was entirely acoustic. And that was the first I heard of them. And I listened to their old music, and it's not as good. But this acoustic EP, which I talked about on one of our earlier podcasts, is amazing. And then this album came out this year, and it sticks with that acoustic sound, stripped down, not a lot of frills to it. It's wonderful. Definitely check out Birdie by Slaughter Beach Dog and their EP before that, which I can't remember the name of, but definitely check it out.
And I'd have to interject in there as well, Slaughter Beach Dog, for anyone who may be listening who knows who Defiance Ohio is, Slaughter Beach Dog is sort of the poppier moments of Defiance Ohio.
Is it the same guy, or is it just kind of a similar sound?
Oh, no, it's a similar sound. Not the same guy, but it's definitely a similar sound from not the stripped-down Defiance Ohio that a lot of the fans like prefer, but some of their more polished recordings, it's akin to that.
Okay, and I like Defiance Ohio. Jason, what is your next two favorite albums?
I have one more. My last one is Brock Berrigan, Point Pleasant. Brock Berrigan is it's not lo-fi hip-hop, but it's what a lot of the YouTube lo-fi hip-hop mixes are.
I'm opening a bottle of wine, and it's a popper, Champagne. So I apologize.
It's 12 o'clock!
Oh, Happy New Year! So we wanted to start off the new year with a Nutri-Milk Hotel song, love you, Jesus Christ! I'm just kidding. We didn't know how to start off the new year. This is completely off the cuff. This whole podcast is off the cuff. We told you that at the beginning. Yeah. If you're still listening at this point,
you're a loser.
You're an idiot.
Get a life.
Get a fucking life.
Actually, get Audible.
Get Audible. Audible, the premier podcast fucking audiobook fucking... I'm not supposed to say fucking in the ad, but fuck it.
There's a lot of fireworks.
There's Audible. A lot of fireworks. Audible. These fireworks are Audible, Jason. You like audiobooks and you like porn? Well, all of the porn that you like to watch, Audible is turned into audiobook. Listen to it instead. You like to hear nondescript moans and a man saying, "Oh, you're my stepsister. I don't want to sleep with you." Download Audible.
She always wins,
though. She all. Otherwise, it wouldn't be porn. Okay. It would just be a weird fucking video. Anyway, okay, Jason said his. I'm going to move on to mine.
Oh, wait, hold on, yeah. Oh, Mark Berrigan, Point Pleasant. He's, a lot of people listen to the YouTube lo-fi hip-hop mixes. It's akin to that. It's something you can work out to, chill out with friends, have a party, fancy soiree with drinks. Yes, whatever.
All right, my next two, because we need to start pulling people in so we can get back to the party. Excuse me. Milo, if you don't know him, is another member of Open Mike Eagle's rap group.
Right-wing conservative.
No, he is not. This is not a Milo Yiannopoulos album. Fuck you, Jason, for suggesting that. Milo, he is part of the rap group Hellfire Club. He is part of the rap group Bus Driver, started another rap group, which I can't remember the name of right now. I really wish Brenna was here.
Brenna!
But anyway, regardless, Milo is super great. If you like philosophy, if you like hip-hop, Milo is definitely for you. His newest album, Who Told You to Think, is amazing. He really, really doubles down on the philosophy on this. It's a lot of Nietzsche quotes. It's a lot of just really heavy stuff. That's not going to help me.
Hemlock Ernst?
Hemlock Ernst is a rapper that he...
collaborated with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, yeah, it's really wonderful. We're going to bring Levi in later. He's going to talk about it.
We'll talk for like 4 hours.
No, it's going to be short, man. 4 minutes a person. But it's really good. If you like philosophy, there's a lot of stuff. A lot of it is personal, but a lot of his stuff is also... It's personal, but it's relatable in a way where it's you can tell that he's clearly talking about himself, but we've all had those feelings before. And I understand that's what music is kind of going for, but he really nails that where he touches on depression. He touches on trying to get out of depression. A lot of his music is very depressing, but in a good way, where it's depressing, but you feel uplifted by listening to it. Similar vein to emo. It's kind of the emo version of hip-hop, in a way, in my opinion. I doubt he would feel the same way. But, I mean, if you would take Snowing, Algernon Cadwallader, and take those songs and make them hip-hop, I feel like this is what would transfer to it. It's very philosophical, it's very touching, very deep. A lot of his lyrics, you kind of have to... It's like when Kendrick releases an album, you're kind of writing down the lyrics and be like, oh god, I gotta look this up and figure it out, like, what he means by it. There's a lot of that. And it's really intelligent. He's got a B-side project, which is called Scallops Hotel. Listen to that if you really like Milo. I found out about Scallops Hotel this year. They're releasing a new album tonight. It actually should be out as of 5 minutes ago, Central Time. I haven't heard it yet. I'm pretty excited about it. But Scallops Hotel is also great. It's Milo's side project. And my last favorite album of the year, I've got a few runners-up that I'm going to talk about, but my last favorite album of the year is Pure Comedy by Father John Misty. Jason's going to groan, but fuck Jason. Father John Misty released my favorite album in 2015, which was I Love You, Honey Bear. It was amazing. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. That whole album was written about his marriage to his current wife. They had just gotten married. It was really passionate and wonderful. And we don't hear a lot of folk albums that are passionate and wonderful anymore. There are a few, but folk punk has kind of taken over that genre of passionate and wonderful folk music, you know?
Yeah, because the regular genre no one likes, really.
Yeah, but... I understand that, but Father John Misty is revitalizing that genre.
I guess.
And he is... Okay,
one
so
none.
What I will say in your defense, name a Fleet Foxes song that is better than a Father John Misty song. You can't, because...
Winter White Hymnal.
That song blows.
It's better than at least one Father John Misty
song. At least one, but 95%...
Meets the threshold.
95% of Father John Misty songs are better than any Fleet Foxes songs.
No.
Father John Misty is way better than
Winter
the Fleet
White
Foxes.
Is better than...
I was following the...
the
songs...
harmony, though.
The harmony. Hey. I could sing.
Back to row,
so
row,
I was
row.
In choir when I was in eighth grade, and I remembered that
third
someone
grade.
Told me to sing the first of the chord, and the third of the chord, and the fifth of the chord.
Third
and
grade.
That's how you made a chord. So I just sing what the guitar is singing. Go away, Morgan.
Close to my work.
Yay, it's okay.
So yeah, no, Father John Misty's Pure Comedy, regardless of what Jason says, no matter how much he shits on him, that album is really good. It's fantastic. Hey, look, it's Morgan.
Yes.
our literal first guest on the podcast.
Yay.
This is Morgan. I moved all of the pottery out of the way.
I'm really worried, you guys.
So, Morgan's here.
We're gonna spill
Morgan,
things on her
you're
stuff.
The first. Okay, so our podcast has literally become non-structured as of right now. I'm going to pull people in. Morgan is the first person
Morgan,
here.
You're
so, Morgan.
Right
talk to you then.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter. So, what was your favorite song / album of 2017?
You know, I've been really listening. I've been going old school, and it's not new, 2017.
That's fine.
Okay.
But it's the Trio. In
the
80s.
What's the trio?
Okay. Elaborate.
So I like to ask people, what did your parents listen to in the car while you guys were driving?
Okay.
Like,
Jimmy
as
Buffett.
As kids, Jimmy Buffett.
Whatever was on the radio that was bad.
So my mom listened to the Trio, which is Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, and Linda Ronstadt. And
oh,
so
gosh.
There was like this, it was so amazing. I remember
I'm going
to
make
mom,
an aside real quick. Sorry to interrupt, Morgan.
Fine.
The Andrew Jackson Jihad song, Linda Ronstadt, is absolutely fantastic. Listen to it. Anyway.
I would also like to make an aside real quick. I'm sorry, Morgan. My grandpa, when he'd see Dolly Parton on TV, he'd say, look at them titties.
My grandfather would as well.
So that's what I like to ask people questions about
that's
that. Because I think that it's so, like, what's the word? Nostalgic. And so, like...
Okay.
So also, like, my mom loved Garth Brooks, so
I fucking love Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
Up top. Up top for everyone.
Listen to it. So I like to think about the audience. Like, what did your parents listen to car while y'all were driving? And be careful for the battery.
It was nothing but the taillights.
No, seriously, like, here's that one.
I tried to move everything.
Morgan has a bunch of pottery in here. We're usurpers. Usurpers or usurper? I think it's usurpers.
It's usurpers.
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 Okay, yeah, just be careful.
And we're usurping on their land of pottery and things with our
live from Pottery Land.
Can you send
Daniel in here?
Daniel.
Thank you so much
for
your
trio. Again, we have the trio.
And what was your least favorite song/album 2017?
I don't know.
What did you hate the most this year that came out?
Country song. Taylor
she Swift. Doesn't know.
But the one about like driving a car, like referring to women, like friend car. I don't know.
Driving a car, referring to women.
I like to listen to British Got Talent and listen to the songs.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So Britain, call out. Give us a call, Britain.
Britain, you were absolutely terrible to Morgan. How dare you?
So wait, who did I bring?
Daniel. Send Daniel in. All right, we've got a new friend coming. Yeah. I'm going to finish my Father John Misty talk. Jesus Christ, if you haven't listened to Father John Misty yet, he's absolutely wonderful. Just Jason is just rolling his eyes right now. But he's really, really good. And Jason is wrong. And I don't know. If you like music and you want to prove Jason wrong, listen to Father John Misty.
Yeah.
Because it's the best of both worlds.
It's for Britain.
It's for
our British fans.
Yeah. I'm going to move on to my runner-ups. My runner-up, I really wanted to put this as my favorite album of the year because I have a tattoo and...
Ariana Grande?
No, shut up, dude. Shut up, Jason. This would have been my favorite album of the year, but it's technically not an album. It's a re-release.
Oh.
Is OK Not OK by Radiohead, which was their release, or 2017 release of OK Computer, which had my favorite Radiohead song on it, Lift. And if you haven't heard Lift... The music video is awesome, but listen to the pink pop version of Rift, which is a old, really old festival. So good. And Thom Yorke in that video, pink pop, it's 1996, Lift, it's so good. He's wearing a fucking yellow jumpsuit. It's so solid. I want Thom Yorke's face tattooed on my face. I love him. And OK Not OK was a release of one of the best Radiohead albums ever. OK Computer, obviously. My next runner-up for one of my favorite albums of the year is Imagine Dragons Evolve. Parth, this is for you. Parth is one of my best friends. He and I like Imagine Dragons. He loves Imagine Dragons. I appreciate them. I actually, super hipster moment for me, I heard Imagine Dragons EP, which was called On Top of the World, I believe, and it had all of their hits on it, their first hits, It's Time, On Top of the World, Demons, whatever that other song is, whatever song that they do that in, it's super good. So I heard that probably back in 2013. Daniel is here. But yeah, so Imagine Dragons Evolve. It's a very good album. They kind of returned for their second feature length. It's really solid. A lot of good pop hits on it. And don't listen to it if you're looking for absolute artistry. If you just want to hear a goddamn good pop song / album, listen to Imagine Dragons Evolve. Because that's what it is. If you want, they're the Michael Jackson of this age. And I don't care how blasphemous that is. It's true. They're good. Their songs are poppy. Their songs are good. Just listen to it. Daniel's here.
Hi.
Daniel, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Daniel. I have no...
What's your last name, Daniel?
Daniel Brantley.
What's your social security number, Daniel?
My number is 8765.
Whoa!
Number
301.
Whoa, okay, anyway. Regardless, Daniel.
Yes.
We're asking our drunk participants, fan base. You guys are clearly not fans.
Always be your
people that are at this house that we are currently podcasting at. What is your favorite album of 2017?
2017, I've actually been listening to a lot of different stuff lately.
It's not what we asked you. What's
your favorite? I will get to it when I.
Daniel and I have been friends for like 4 years. I love to give him shit.
I love this man, but I will tell him to go. How are you with swearing?
Fucking say whatever you want.
And then I will tell this man to go fuck himself anytime I want.
Just say, what's your favorite album?
What is your favorite album?
This year, I've actually been really impressed with a band called Remo Drive. Their first ever album came out this year, 2017. It's called Greatest Hits.
Greatest Hits.
Best first album.
How is it Greatest Hits if it's their first album?
Because it's the only songs they have. So it's got to be the Greatest Hits. Genius.
Gee, hottie.
You know, something about it, it's really comes down to like some angsty teenage music. But fuck, man, I love it because
some
it's
angsty teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's like this sincerity, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of like, who doesn't love a little bit of angst in their life? You look back and you're like, man, fuck, dude, I remember being a teenager. Fuck my parents. And you know, it was a great album. I really enjoyed it. I sat there and I think I listened to it for like 2 months straight, just that album. Okay. So I stumbled across it, but it was really well worth a sit down and just listen to the whole album.
Cool.
I think we've broken ground here, folks. I think we need to take this on a serious note about fucking your parents.
So it's if you, okay. Whatever band Daniel mentioned, if you happen to listen to it, please call this, don't fuck your parents.
Don't fuck your parents, man. It's just a simple, just, you know what?
Don't fuck.
Even if you have that moment in the darkness of your room, in the corner, and you're thinking to yourself, man, maybe I could get away with fucking
using
my
the
parents,
left hand,
you know?
Instead of the right hand.
Right? It wouldn't be the same, right? Yeah. Wrong, kids.
All
right,
it's here comes our next. Here comes our next ad. Audible. If you can audibly hear your parents jerking it, please don't call this hotline. Any other reasons, please call this hotline. We'll send you food. We'll send you beer. We'll even send you illicit drugs. Just don't call us if you can hear your parents having sexual activities, because we don't care for that. Anything else, please give us a phone call. Audible. We're the only company that doesn't care about your parents' sex lives. Audible.
Audible.
Audible. All right, Daniel, thank you so much for joining us and sitting through that terrible ad. Would you mind sending Levi in?
I will do my best. I'm probably going to finish my wine first.
No, please send Levi in right now. We don't have the time for that, Daniel.
This is a professional podcast.
This is professional!
Just for you, Josh.
Thank
Fuck!
You.
Just for you. God damn it!
I'm going to have to listen to that later and make sure that didn't break the sound barrier, which it probably did. I have to urinate. Anyway.
As do I.
My last runner-up for Album of the Year is Godspeed You, Black Emperor. There's a comma in there. It's truly wonderful. Their new album, Lucifer in Towers. Speaking of the devil, Levi's here.
I'm liking the hand gestures you're doing.
Thank you. Anyway, Lucifer in Towers is a truly lovely album. There's about 5 or 6 songs on there, and it's just, as in Godspeed You Black Emperor traditional fashion, there are 6 songs, but it's clearly just one song that they broke up into 6 separate tracks. It's really good. It's kind of just experimental noise rock, and it's really wonderful. If you haven't listened to any of their stuff, I recommend, it's hashtag F, hashtag infinity. And I know that's probably the sharp sign, but I'm going to use hashtag because I know that if I say hashtag, people will know what I'm talking about. So it's hashtag F, hashtag infinity.
Yeah, get that burp in there.
the burp, you have to write burp in the album name, otherwise it won't show up. But that album, hashtag F, the hashtag infinity, is very good. And any other Godspeed You Black Emperor albums are also very good. Be prepared to be kind of mortified. They're pretty scary. Don't listen to them when you're trying to go to sleep. But anyway, that's my last runner-up for the my favorite album of the year. Anyway, introducing Levi.
Hi, I'm Levi.
My roommate. He's here. He's great. He's smart. He's handsome. He's beautiful. He's sexually attractive to me. And he's here.
I require anybody to introduce me. To introduce me like that. It's all my writer. Very important.
Yeah, and his writer also requires 30,000 brown M&Ms. Hashtag fuck you, Van Halen.
I mean, I don't like orange M&Ms.
That was on David Lee Roth's writer that they couldn't have brown M&Ms or something like that.
Hashtag, you just didn't see him in 86.
Hashtag, also fuck David Lee Roth. Anyway, Levi, what was your favorite album of 2017 and why?
My favorite album of 2017 was Milo's Who Told You to Think.
Wow, that was on my favorite album.
Duplicate favorite album.
Wait, I thought you said that was your favorite album too?
No, that was not. My favorite album was Open Mike's Brick Body Kiss, gotcha, which is very similar because they're both part of Project Blowed also and Hellfire Club. But
yeah, I think Milo's newest album really showed some maturity and growth in his stuff. So he came from kind of being a more innocent lyricist, still very well put together, but his subject matter was more of self-introspection and kind of silliness almost. Yeah. And this one, I think, showed a lot of growth, just not just in the subject matter, but also in its delivery. And it was very like poetic and smooth and well delivered.
What was your favorite song on that album, if you don't mind me asking?
Probably Sorcerer.
Okay. But that was also my favorite song on that album. That's very interesting.
Do you have a track list of it?
I can pull it
up.
So my Sorcerer was definitely my favorite track, solely because of the part where he goes, sweating by that hot poker, fuck that. Could have been a pot smoker, fuck that. Rappers look, or he is sweating by that hot poker, fuck that. Could have been a stockbroker, fuck that. Rappers look like pot smokers, fuck that.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite lines in the song, just because he is not only referring to his own profession, but talking about others' views on his own profession. Mm. Where how I know that personally, my parents, because I showed that my dad and my stepfather and my mother asked me what music I was listening to, and I showed them Milo and Open My Eagle as an example, and they were very shocked by it, just because they did not understand that I was into hip hop or
white boy don't rap,
quote unquote, African American music. And I showed them that song, and that's a very that song kind of addresses that aspect of just hip-hop music in general, of people who are not African-American embracing that style of music. And for me, that's like, because my parents always just, fuck off, don't laugh at me, this is a personal podcast, and my parents did not accept me listening to black music, and this is black music. Anyway, here is an album, Levi.
Yeah, okay, so the other song, actually, oddly enough, the intro song, Poet, Black Bean, I really like that song. It's only like a minute and a half. Or no, actually.
It's 2:50.
But it's quite long. It's got about a minute of intro.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very short and sweet rap on there. That's pretty solid. The very first song on the album.
All right. You got anything? What was your least favorite album in 2017? Or what song did you hate the most?
Anything by Rory Fiera.
Jason has made himself known as an anti-Rory Fiera fan.
Thanks for Ferrera.
Whatever.
Ferrera.
Fuck her. She doesn't deserve her name being spelled right.
That's Milo.
Right? Yeah, that's Milo. That's his name.
Yeah.
Is it really?
You know who Milo
Dizzy
is.
Dizzy bitch.
Some fan.
I've had a bottle and a half of
Milo.
Grand Budapest Hotel Blanc de Blanc. Oh. How dare you yell at me? Jason, I love you deeply. Get off this podcast. Anyway, what was your least favorite song / band of 2017?
I'm having a real tough time with that question, honestly. I kind of aggressively pursue the bands that I like.
Yeah, me too.
So
he does
avoid ones that I don't like.
But you really didn't like maybe Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift.
Okay, was that... Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I, there's probably songs I hated more, though, than that.
Okay.
Ever talked about but,
but also, Levi and I live together, and our music tastes kind of... we've got... Levi and I have very similar music tastes, so we kind of share our music tastes quite a lot. Levi showed me Phoenix. He showed me Open Mic. There are a few... I'm kind of drunk, so I can't remember which bands that I showed. Oh! I showed Levi, which is the band that... They're all high school kids, but they released kind of a mediocre album this year.
Hippocampus.
Hippocampus. Yeah, I showed Levi Hippocampus. There's a few other bands that Levi likes because I showed them to him.
Yeah, let's go through that.
No, let's not right now. I'm drunk. Can you send in Hector?
No.
Why is Hector?
He's in Fucktown right now.
Oh, are they sleeping together?
Let's just say Chuck Tinkle visiting.
All right. Okay, so there upstairs, Borgen was live. We have Dunhill's the only one left that's here that hasn't been on.
Sure.
Can you send in Dunhill? And then we'll end this podcast. Don't make fun of the mountain goats on this podcast.
It's not right to make fun of a band that sings like this.
Levi was just making fun of the mountain goats. He was, in fact, making fun of one of my favorite mountain goat songs, which is off the album Sunset Tree, where he's singing about the catharticism of leaving his... disobeying his stepfather, who was physically abusing him. And he says, I broke free on a Saturday morning. I could feel that engine roar. Which pretty much he took his car out and drove it to the arcade and drank and disobeyed his father and then came home and then dealt with the punishment of disobeying his father.
Dunhill.
Who has just walked into this garage
is
none other than the beautiful, the wonderful Dunhill.
Hi.
She is here to tell us her favorite album slash song of 2017.
What do we got?
Ooh, Frank Ocean's album.
Was that 2017?
Did that come out?
Brenna?
This year?
I feel like it did.
I feel like it did.
No.
That came out last year.
Blonde?
Whoa.
Oh, a Provider.
No, that was a single. Blonde, I feel like, came out last year. Yeah, Blonde was 2016.
There's a lot that came out last year, I wanted to say.
Is there any... Dunhill is one of the few... I did not say Siri, you dumb woman. AI woman.
Siri's Josh's girlfriend.
No, Siri is a porn star. But regardless... Dunhill is by far the most... I'm trying to think of the word. She has the most technological view of music. She is very into techno music, whether that be drum or bass or dubstep.
I prefer the term EDM.
EDM, electronic dance music. Not trance. Don't add trance into that.
Trance is part of EDM.
I guess it is. There's a big umbrella. But anyway, Dunhill really likes EDM.
Trance is really cool.
So trance is cool. I really like Japanese trance, where they have like all the like Japanese girls on the front, like the cartoon Japanese girls on the front, and then it's a, like, like there's a really good trance cover of Numa 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 8, like that song. It's a really good trance cover of that song. I used to love trance growing up, just because it was like cute Japanese girls, and then you could dance to it in your garage. I used to do that a lot. But anyway, do you have a favorite song slash album 2017?
I'm trying to think. Nothing really sticks out that much, music-wise. I think musically, 2016.
Well, what was your favorite song of this year? What was your favorite song that you listened to this year? Yeah. It doesn't Bad have to Liar. Be from this year.
Bad Liar?
Bad Liar from Selena Gomez.
Okay.
Ooh, nice.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
She had a really good year.
She had a really good year.
She did, like, I feel artistically, she did better than T-Swifty. Because T-Swifty had...
More of the same.
It was more of the same, but also that single she released, Look What You Made Me Do, I just feel like it was so trite, and I'm a Kanye fan.
That didn't come out in 20... Oh.
I am a total Kanye fan, and I feel like that whole gossip / bullshit between them and T-Swifty was just... Kanye clearly won. And then Kanye did not release a song / diss track, whatever, about that. And then 8 months later, Taylor Swift came and was like, look what you made me do. And that song, one, is lame. And number two, Kanye clearly won, and you were trying to do a comeback, and it was just disappointing.
How can we even prove they weren't working together the whole time?
They could have been. And they probably aren't. Were. Yeah. No, I will stand to this day that the Grammy where he took her mic was totally a publicity stunt.
Because he just came out this year, and they did the whole thing again. After they were all good, and then she's got a new album coming out, and he goes, she built her whole shit off me.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. But I'm a Kanye fan, so I'm going to defend him. And I feel like she was just totally doing that in retaliation, but he totally won this feud. I said you could record a song, because there's one of my favorite tweets of 2016... was who knew that that Kim Kardashian would win the Pulitzer Prize for investigative journalism? Hysterical, because she released a Snapchat of Kanye and Taylor talking about the Kanye lyric from 2016, and then Kanye released absolutely nothing in 2017, which was a huge disappointment to me. But Taylor Swift released that song where she was like, "Oh, Kanye was mean to me." So, I'm not saying that album was bad, but that song was bad. I haven't listened to the album, and I won't listen to the album, because... So, Dunhill, do you have anything else to add to the 2017? You are our last guest before we close this up.
Anything
you want to talk about Calvin Harris at all?
Why?
He's kind of cute.
Like, yeah, but Selena Gomez...
Yeah, Selena Gomez is really cuter. Yeah.
Cute. Oh, we can't do that. That's like $12,000.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Disney. Please don't air this. Star Wars was great. I watched it 430 times.
Dunhill just tried to play a Selena Gomez song. Selena.
All right. This podcast is slowly degrading in quality.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for actually supporting us, if any of you actually do. I'm going to give a shout out to Manny. Manny!
Yes,
Manny works with us at our job, and he told us that our podcast is good and that his children liked it. And Manny, you're a hero. Yep. If anyone else wants to be like Manny, we're setting up an email. It's a... Manny at Manny.com. Not true, but please just subscribe to our podcast. Send us emails. It's YMSpodcast@gmail.com. That's our official podcast email. Send us any questions or favorite albums or albums you want us to listen to. We'll listen to them, and we will tell you if your music sucks.
Actually, here's the thing. Send us your album. I don't care who you are. We will review it.
We will give you a 1 out of 8. Because we don't go to 10. Because we're not some pussy-ass fucking IGN bitches. Yep. We don't give 9.5s to Call of Duty. Yeah, okay, Foo Fighters, you probably deserve a 9.5. We're going to give you a 5 because you're better than that.
We'll review every album on our 8 scale rating.
Yeah, 1 to 8. But if Radiohead releases a new album right now, we'll give you a 9.
I won't give you a 9.
Tom York.
I'm rating hard.
No, Tom York, I'll give you a 9, which our rating is on a 1 to 8. I'll give you a 9 if you release your new solo music literally the moment you hear this podcast.
On this podcast with Weird Al.
Tom York.
Collaborate with Weird Al, please.
All right.
York Weed Hour collaboration.
All right. Thank you for finishing out 2017 with us. We love you. We hate you. And most of all, your music sucks. Thanks for being here. Thanks for not being here. Thanks for being exactly who you are. We love you.
Salami.
Did you just say salami?
Salami. Salome.
All right. Good night. Mwah. 2017's over. 2018 is here.